This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. Time for an episode of The Week in Iceland, because it does feel as if things are beginning to, I was going to say hot up, which is maybe the wrong phrase to use given the weather today, but it feels as if things are now finally happening again in Iceland. There's a lot to talk about this week, and doing so today in the company of my colleague here at RÚV, Árni Mathiasen, who is going to guide us through some of the stories which are making the news here in Iceland. And I wonder, Árni, well, we start with your birthday, of course. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Which is, of course, the biggest news of the weekend.
Yeah.
But let's start with the weather, which is always a topic of interest in Iceland, a topic of importance, because we had very severe weather towards the end of last week. As we have our conversation here on Monday morning, another storm sweeping in today, and then on Wednesday and Thursday, yet more severe weather with yellow and orange warnings.
Yeah, apparently the worst one yet is coming on Wednesday.
Yes, yes.
With the strong southern winds, which means, well, they were warning about there would be disruptions, electricity disruptions in the north and in the east of the country.
So this isn't about snow. I mean, snow is part of the mix, but it's the storm conditions. It's
the wind and the rain. It was snowing a lot. It was snowing a lot earlier in the week, but then it all went away.
Yes.
It was a bit cold last night, but yeah, it's going to be very wet and very warm for this time of year.
And you've got still melting going on, incredible thawing over the course of the last few days.
Incredible thawing, and that means there's going to be the potential flooding.
Yes.
There was some flooding last night, I think. Yeah, there was some flooding, but potential flooding in the north and east as well.
Well, we live in Kópavogur. And on Friday, we tried to go to the pool. And we live on a hill in Kópavogur. And so I took the car out of the garage and got onto this hill. And it just would not climb the hill at all. There were cars sliding around all over the place. And it wasn't especially cold, but the rain was falling on the ice that was already there.
It became super slick.
Absolutely. And it was a really, I mean, the brakes were having no effect at all. The wheels were spinning, and this was happening to about every second car that was trying to get up the hill.
And my guess is that most of the cars had studded tires as well.
Yeah.
But that didn't help at all.
Well, I've got winter tires.
You got winter
tires. Which aren't studded. These are the ones that've got the grooves that are designed to flush water out. My last car did have studded tires, and I think it did better on them.
Yeah, well, I have studded tires.
Yes.
I tried having winter tires a few years ago, but I was working at Morgunblaðið, which is just outside of Reykjavik.
Yes, yes.
Very wintry conditions. And I just did that for a couple of months, and I said, no, studded tires. And that's what I use all the time.
And that's quite a high location, isn't it?
At
the back of
Arbeier.
When it gets wintry, it gets very wintry. Very quickly. So this week then, looking ahead, we've got the storm coming in today. We've got yellow and orange weather warnings for almost the entire country. I think there was a warning even over the capital, but it's now been lifted. But it's still going to be pretty miserable later on today, I think, by the time you hear this conversation.
It's going to be snowing later today with poor visibility. And then it will be raining and stormy in the night. So that's how it is.
Yes. So a lot of this going on, it's all because of this low pressure system, which is moving over the country. Another one coming on Wednesday, as we say. And the serious implication here, of course, is that, you know, we get tourists in Iceland all year round now, which is fantastic, but these warnings are not to be messed with. You've got to pay attention to these, because the weather can change really quickly here. These winds can blow a car right off the road, never mind turn it over. It can blow it right off the road if it's at all sensitive. So stay with RÚV and RÚV English and all the other sources of information.
But there's a new thing in the mix, the danger mix, so to speak, is that we're waiting for an eruption in Reykjanes. And with the weather this bad, it's harder to notice when the eruption starts because the visibility is so poor. And it adds a lot of problems because people having to run away from the eruption, escape from the eruption, they could have problems as well because of the poor weather.
Yes. But also these devices that are used to detect changes. Obviously, they're very sensitive because they're under the ground or they're set up in such a way that they, you know, are designed to detect tremors. When you've got rain and wind and snow battering into the ground, obviously, that's going to make a difference as well. So it means that the prediction that the scientists can make about an eruption is going to be less accurate.
Yeah, they've also been saying that each eruption, of course, this isn't the first and not the second, not the third. We have had a lot of eruptions in the Reykjanes area.
Yeah.
And they're saying that the window before when they detect it and the eruption starts is getting smaller and smaller.
Yes.
So it can start almost without any warning.
Yeah.
So that's also becoming a problem.
So you take those two things together, and I mean, potentially 10, 15, 20 minutes notice beginning. Nothing yet, we should say, here and have our conversation at 8 minutes past 11 on Monday morning, but you never know. By the time this goes out later on today, there could be another eruption. And I think the Met Office are saying, look, we expect there to be another one. The amount of magma under the ground at Svartsengi is at the level that you'd expect.
Yeah.
But when it happens, we can't say.
We can't say. It could happen tomorrow. Mm. It could happen anytime. It could be happening as we speak and we're not knowing about it.
Well, I think we'll know pretty quickly by the sounds of it, the way things are changing. So that's the weather above the ground, and you could say the weather under the ground as well, combining to lead to a pretty complicated picture across Iceland. Something that has started today, we can say, is the teachers' strike. 5,000 children across Iceland are at home across 21 nursery and primary schools. There was a yet another meeting to try to sort this dispute out that didn't succeed. It finished at 11 o'clock last night. Can we just spin back a little bit here and talk about what this dispute is about? Because it's been going on for such a long time. There have been strikes which have then ended and, as we've now seen, started again.
There was an agreement a few years ago but with the municipalities and the teachers' union in that the teachers have had a better pension scheme than people working not for the municipalities.
Mm.
And there was a decision to equal out these schemes so that every worker would have the more or less the same pension scheme.
Mm.
And there was an agreement with the teachers' union about this a few years ago. And part of the agreement is that because their pension scheme will be a bit worse, their pay would go up to balance it.
Right.
Yeah. So this was agreed and signed, but it never happened. Their pension scheme went down, but their pay didn't go up.
Right.
So that's why they're striking now. They're striking because the original agreement was not fulfilled.
And so this has been agreed already, then?
This has been agreed already,
that
yes.
That the pay would balance
yes,
out.
Yes, yes, but it hasn't happened.
Right.
It hasn't happened because the municipalities, they don't have any money. They can't do it. So that's the big problem.
Right. And that is why we find ourselves today, as I say, with 5,000 children staying at home across 21 nursery and primary schools. If the municipalities don't have the money, it's hard to see how this is resolved then.
It's a
big
problem.
If that's genuinely true.
It's a big problem. And that's why that's why we're so stuck. And there's no agreement, the person that's leading the talks between them, he proposed a solution which the municipalities accepted, but the teachers didn't accept because it didn't go far enough.
Right.
They want the agreement that they did originally, they want that to be fulfilled. They're not asking for new things, they're asking for what has already been agreed.
So the pensions presumably come from the state.
Yeah.
But the wages come from the municipality.
Yes.
Maybe we can throw some ideas around here and try to solve this. Why don't they temporarily put the pensions back up?
that could solve it. But it's there's a lot. There's not well. The teachers are really, really stuck on this. They want the old agreement to be fulfilled.
In all seriousness, is it possible for the state to give money to the municipalities to make up the shortfall? Is that what's going to have to happen?
That's also something that has been in discussion for a while because there has been a devolution of things going to the municipalities to take care of themselves.
Yes.
But they're supposed to get a share of the taxes to pay for that. But the share hasn't been big enough.
Right.
So they have been discussing for a few years. There have been discussions between the municipalities and the government to get, they would get more money, a bigger share of the tax revenue. And that hasn't been solved either.
Because this strike action, or at least this dispute, spans the recent general election,
doesn't it?
The change of government.
Yes.
So does that give anyone any hope? Just the fact that there are new players involved, new parties, new politicians, have they said anything about what they might do here?
Well, there was this big story about the Prime Minister saying that she supported the teachers in this, which is something that I think the Prime Minister shouldn't do. They shouldn't take sides in a dispute, a labour dispute. Mm. But she did that, so that is maybe an indication of they would try to step in to help solve this.
Yes, or maybe, possibly, that isn't possible, but she wants to be seen to be on the side of the teachers because she's a politician.
Yeah, because it's also the traditional vote share of the Social Democratic Alliance. That's university-educated people, which is, of course, teachers.
Yeah,
so it's a big part of their vote share.
Meanwhile, we've got, repeat it again, 5,000 children not at home. And we've seen strikes before, but this, I think, is the biggest, isn't it?
This is the biggest for a long while,
And I think maybe that's going to focus minds when parents realise that obviously they're going to realise that children are not at school, but when that really starts to bite.
Well, there's been a very interesting development that some parents have tried taking the teachers to court because of the effect the strikes have on their kids.
Yes.
But that was thrown out, actually, the day before yesterday, I think. It was thrown out of court. But that also caused further complications because it made the teachers' union very angry that parents were doing this.
There's a wider point about municipalities, and we've covered this story a few times on Roof English. I'm always fascinated by how much interest there is in this when you have two small municipalities, for example, in the Westfjords, deciding to merge. And the direction of travel is that there are going to be fewer and bigger municipalities because I think the smallest one in Iceland has about 85 people living in it or something.
That's also a big thing that has been for many years.
Yeah.
And successive governments have tried to implement laws to force them to link up.
Yes.
But it hasn't been very successful because the Progressive Party, which has been a part of government for many, many years, is always in government, it seems to be. They have their traditional base, vote base is the municipalities around the country, outside of Reykjavik, outside of the southwest. So they have been very, they haven't really wanted to step in and do this, force them to do it.
And the reason that people who are in favour of it, one of the reasons that people who are in favour of this advocate for it is that they think if you have fewer municipalities sharing resources, then you're going to save money.
Yes.
And maybe, to come back to the teacher strike, more money to solve this
sort
of problem.
Yes. But people in small places, small villages around the country, they worry that if they become a part of a bigger union, they worry that they would lose the local school. Their children would have to be bused for a long, long way in wintry cold conditions to a school and lose connections to friends at home and so on. So it's a very local concerns that it's very hard to get over.
Yes, and even deciding what the name of a merged municipality is going to be is controversial as well, isn't it?
That also has been a bone of contention in many of them.
Well, that is the direction of travel to reduce the number of municipalities across the country. But as we've said, there are reasons why that might not be a particularly smooth or straight road in the future. Good news for, I think, one of Iceland's most famous musicians, Víkingur Ólafsson, who is a pianist, a classical pianist, very much associated with the music of Bach, winning a Grammy Award last night for the Goldberg Variations, his album of
a very deserved award.
Yes.
Because he's an exceptionally fine piano player.
He is.
Yeah. But one thing interesting about him is that he actually managed to break through in the international classical music scene as a pretty old player, which is because usually the players that really get breakthrough are quite young.
Yes.
So they have their youth with them. But he was relatively old when he broke through in the international market.
How old is he? He's probably older than he looks, I think.
He looks quite young,
He does look quite young.
Yeah.
I remember during COVID, before we were in Iceland, but obviously wanting to move to Iceland, BBC Radio 4 in the UK had a house pianist, and it was Víkingur Ólafsson from Harpa.
Yeah,
and so he would play to a deserted Harpa in the middle of lockdown on BBC Radio 4.
Oh.
And it was really, it was haunting to imagine him on his own, basically, in that huge hall.
Huge venue.
Yeah, in Harpa. And I know that he's been very popular, not just in Iceland, but across other parts of the world as well. We saw him play in the South Bank in London a couple of years ago as well. And he is very associated with the music of Bach, isn't he? He's done a few recordings of different pieces.
But he's also very interested in modern classical music. He's played Philip Glass and stuff. And he's also, here in Iceland, he's very well known as an educator of music. He had these shows on the state television where he would discuss works with his then fiancée, now his wife.
Mm.
And he would play and discuss and talk and try to explain how the composers were building things up and so on. So he's very well known as an educator.
Yeah.
And if you've seen him live, I've seen him live a couple of times here in Iceland, and he would sometimes stop, you know, and just talk about what he was doing and what he was thinking, which made it so much more special.
He did exactly that, and it was the Philip Glass performance, indeed, that we saw, that you mentioned when we saw him at the South Bank. And yes, he's got such a passion for the music. He wants to explain why he thinks it's great, and he wants to tell you why it's great and why you should think it's great as well. And if you buy his records, and I mean his literal vinyl records, which you can get, he signed to Deutsche Grammophon, they're wonderful things to own because they're brilliantly recorded, beautifully produced. The whole thing is just a lovely artistic item to own, isn't it?
Yeah, and you get his personality shining through.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's Víkingur Ólafsson. We agree he is a very deserving winner of the Grammy Award last night. He was nominated in the category of Classical Instrumental Soloists. And he was the winner for his recording of the Goldberg Variations, which, by the way, you can still see. It was televised on Ruv about a month ago. It's still there on the player. We'll put a link to that up on the page accompanying this show from Ruv English Radio as well. Now, I want to turn to something that's not been in Iceland since 2009, and that is McDonald's.
Sadly missed. No.
You get these Facebook memes going around that are usually full of nonsense. And this was someone, like a friend of a friend of a friend back in the UK, who posted something about why Iceland is brilliant.
Yeah.
And one of the things was that Iceland has turned its back on junk food. It doesn't have junk food in the country. And of course, that was only because McDonald's is not in the country. I had to point out, well, actually, I mean, I'm not calling these brands junk food as such. Let's say fast food, but we've got all the pizza restaurants. We've got Taco Bell. There's no shortage of international fast food brands.
We've got more or less everything except McDonald's.
Except McDonald's.
Yeah.
And we don't have McDonald's because of the price of imported meat rocketing in 2009. Yeah. That was the problem, wasn't it? That's
why they closed down. They actually, the owner did a rebrand. So he put it in a new Icelandic name and stopped branding it McDonald's. But he still couldn't make it.
Mm.
It didn't work out.
Except it came back yesterday for one day in Garðabær.
Yeah, an influencer.
Yeah. This is Sindri Levi Ingerson, who is, as you say, an influencer. He's got a YouTube channel and Instagram account as well. Flew to London, came back with suitcases full of McDonald's food, and gave them away yesterday in Garðabær, but not the burger.
Not the burger, that's right. he was talking before he went. There was an interview with him before he flew over, and he said, no, it's no problem, I can bring it back because ChatGPT told me.
Yes, apparently that was his source of information on the importation requirements of cooked meat into Iceland. ChatGPT said it's fine as long as it's cooked. I don't know what happened, whether he bought the burgers and had to abandon them in London or...
I would have thought he would have to abandon, at least abandon them here in Iceland. They would remove it. Yeah.
Because he'd planned to put them in his suitcase. And I mean, you know, you don't always get your suitcase checked, do you, when you come back into the country, especially if you're a citizen. So
no, but
I'm thinking that he took advice before he did it.
Well, he had been very vocal about what he was going to do.
Yes.
So I suspect that they were waiting for him.
Possibly, yes. So there were burgers from somewhere else. They were sourced locally. Yeah. There were French fries that came from McDonald's. There were buns and I think some of the other products that you can get as well that did come from McDonald's. And it was popular.
Well, apparently there is a Facebook group about getting McDonald's back to Iceland.
Hmm. Because there are lots of people who say, we don't want McDonald's. It's great that we're a country that doesn't have this particular influence. But I mean, 300 people turned up yesterday. I think there's probably a market for it in the way there's a market for all sorts of things.
Well, I think if there was a market for it, the owner of the franchise, he still owns the franchise, he would start again. But he hasn't.
Yes. And of course, the price of meat has fallen since the crash actually, in 2009. Yes. So you think it's a commercial reason for McDonald's not returning?
It has been up to now, yeah.
How interesting.
I would like to say that it's because we reject fast food, but we don't.
We don't reject fast food, no. And there are plenty of, I have to say, excellent local alternatives, aren't there?
Yeah.
Indigenous. I mean, if you're listening to this, you've never been to Iceland, you're thinking, well, I like my hamburgers, I'm not going to get one. No, you will. There are all sorts of places that you can buy hamburgers here. And indeed, there are fast food hamburger outlets that even look and feel a bit like a McDonald's.
Yes, they do.
So they can make it work.
Yeah, but the fast food business is a low margin business everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So you need a certain volume to be able to do it. I mean, we've had franchises tried here, like Dunkin' Donuts, which only lived for about 3 months, I think.
Yeah, I remember that's collapsed. Right. Yes.
Yeah. So you need a certain volume, and probably we just don't. Well, I was going to say we don't have the amount of people, but we have 2.2 million tourists. So.
Yeah, I think maybe that alone would carry the business through.
Yeah. As you mentioned in the beginning, we're starting to have tourists here more or less the year around.
For sure.
So it might be possible today.
Mm. Well, I think a big part of that is that, of course, the northern lights are visible in the darker months. Maybe not today when it's chucking down with rain, very, very cloudy in the skies. But I think a lot of people are coming to Iceland all year round because it is a 12-month destination now. Whether or not you can get a McDonald's.
Yeah.
Maybe that will change. Who knows? Maybe by the time we have our next conversation. Arni, thanks very much. Great to talk to you today. That was The Week in Iceland. This is RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam, and you can get in touch anytime. We are english@ruv.is.
There is more from RÚV English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RÚV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.